So this time of the year, this school back to school time, always triggers a lot of memories for me. Both my parents were public school teachers, so the countdown was real in the house for everybody. We all knew the day was coming. There were classrooms to set up and new class lists and schedules to figure out, locker combinations to memorize. And then finally, that fateful day in late August where it would arrive, where my brother and my sister and I would have to stand at the back door to get our picture taken with our backpacks full of newly sharpened pencils. Do you still need pencils at school? No, maybe. Sure, we can pretend, right? Newly sharpened pencils and big stacks of paper and binders. Now, these first few weeks always brought a little chaos, no matter how much we all tried to prepare. But I remember the first day of high school very clearly. I knew this year was going to be different. For the first time, my friends and I all had different schedules, different languages we were taking, and different lockers and different hallways. And by fourth period, I thought I had managed to suffocate the butterflies dancing around in my stomach. But I'd overlooked one thing. After grabbing my tray of pizza and chocolate milk, I realized all of my friends had a different lunch period than me. And I looked out at this packed cafeteria of kids of all shapes and sizes, but none of them looked familiar or friendly. And I didn't know what to do. I could not find a place to sit. That phrase, being alone in a crowded room, all of a sudden made sense to me. Perhaps you've been there. Maybe it wasn't the first day of school, but maybe college. First day on a new job. Moving to a new town. Maybe even visiting a church. Knowing where to sit is a very important survival skill to know. We thrive on being in the know, or at least pretending we know what we need to know and who we need to know. Even when we are alone, we pretend not to be. Plug our earbuds in and pull out our phones. We pretend the world around us will not see us as we are, strangers, on our own, all alone. Jesus in today's gospel hits on something very close to us in an unexpected way. He is at a dinner party, and after watching everyone sit down, he starts teaching about seating charts. And he uses this theme found in Proverbs, which would have been something everyone in the room knew. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of great, for it's better to be told to come on up than to be put in a lower place in front of a noble. It may seem kind of strange and awkward to us today, but for Greco-Roman culture, this small social cue was very big. Everyone lived within this hierarchical society of patrons and clients. It was built like a triangle with the emperor sitting at the top, the highest patron, and then it trickled downward, with servants and slaves being at the bottom. So if you wanted something in life, you had to go to someone higher up than you in society and ask them for a favor. And in return, you became their client, bound to them, bound to be loyal no matter what. And so in this system of favors and IOUs, it was very rigid and complicated. Everyone knew their place. Every move was calculated and precise and purposed. It's interesting that Luke says Jesus is teaching a parable here, because usually parables are stories with complicated twists and reversals. But the beginning of this parable, it's pretty straightforward. Make a long story short, be humble. All right. But of course, this is not where Jesus' illustration ends. He ends with this second image that, oh yeah, and if you're having a dinner party, don't invite the patrons, the people that look good, make you look good. Invite the ones that aren't going to help you in this pyramid of success. Invite the ones at the very bottom. Jesus asked these religious leaders to give up their places in society that they have worked so hard to earn and protect. He challenges them to do something radical, something unexpected, something that might not be very much fun and won't get them anywhere in life. Do something consciously uncomfortable. Forget about your survival strategy and be welcoming to the ones that you avoid eye contact with. Jesus, in the midst of a high society banquet of fine wines and overstuffed sitting pillows, flips them over and turns the whole world's social order upside down. In fact, Jesus embodies this shift, for God comes down to us. God chose to become human and walked and talked and ate at human tables. God takes the last seat. In fact, God sat with those no one else wanted to sit with. Jesus invited hated tax collectors and ostracized women and forbidden children and the diseased and the outcast, the nobodies of that social pyramid, to eat with him. And by doing so, cracked open the imagination of what life can really look like for all of us. For Jesus calls us all to the banquet table, no matter where we've come from or what has happened to us in life. Jesus sees us in that high school cafeteria on the first day, standing there with our pizza, sweating, and says, "Here, come on over. Got a seat for you right here." You know, in worship, this invitation is also here for you. For in communion, we get to participate in this feast. This bread is for you. This wine is for you. Through bread and wine, we are reminded that we are forgiven and loved people, made holy, and then we are commissioned to do so for one another, to welcome all the people to the table, for there is always enough, and there will always be enough to go around. And we don't do this because we have to or because it makes us look good, but we do this because God first feeds us. And in the end, each of us shows up at this table the same, as beloved children of God without exception. Now, I cannot help but think that this is what we are attempting to embody in just a few days, for we are hosting a block party on Friday. Party, 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 right? Right? And it's not an insider club. You do not have to be a faith member to participate. There is no admission fee. We just want people to come. We want you to come. We want your neighbors to come. We want strangers to come. For dear ones, in the midst of loneliness and political divisions and school shootings and war and so much evil all around us, the idea of gathering for joy and community is revolutionary. It's so freaking important. For it's in these spaces that we remember that we belong to each other, that what connects us is so much more than what separates us. And Jesus knew that the best way to do this was by eating together, by partying together, by playing together. And so, dear ones, we need this. We need Friday. I need Friday. I'm going to say that you need Friday too, and there's probably someone in your life that also needs this. And so I had a bunch more flyers printed, and I want each of you to take one and invite one person this week. Maybe it's someone you know, maybe this gospel story is tugging on your heart to invite someone who is a stranger to you. For we remember together with the help of the Holy Spirit, strangers become friends, yeah? The God who invited each of us here does incredible things when we leave our hands open and our hearts open and our tables open and our parking lots open for magic. pause, dear ones, until the table is full, until every seat is filled. Something is missing. There is a piece of God's beloved community that has to be invited. Otherwise, we are incomplete. You know, you may be wondering whatever happened to that 14-year-old CJ who stood in the middle of that overcrowded cafeteria, overwhelmed, not knowing what to do, holding her pizza. When I couldn't find a table in the cafeteria, I wandered into the hallway thinking, well, maybe I can eat by my locker. But before I wandered too far, I heard my name being called. And there were three upperclassmen clarinet players that I knew from marching band that were sitting in this hallway near some glass doors in this sunny corner with lots of room. It was an unexpected and unique banquet table that had found me, that I didn't even know I was looking for. And all of a sudden, I had new friends to learn from and get to know. You just never know where God will take you. And so, dear church, may you know that you always have a spot at God's banquet table. May this welcome flow from you to others so they may also know and feel this welcome. May we all seek to make room and be on the lookout for someone who needs a seat. And together with Jesus, may we build a long and wide table, a banquet party with space enough for everyone to feast and for all to dance in their unique, special way. Thank God for the party. Amen.